Welcome back to the 312 show. I'm Zach Joshua, and we're here with some special guests. We got Corbin Klein, Ollie Vigorist, and Josh Katz here. We're going to be going over some of the hot takes in sports, a little sports debate. Let's just hop right into it. I'm going to ask the question. You guys are going to answer, give whatever you want. So the big topic, I think, you guys watch The Last Dance. I think we could all agree that the GOAT is between two guys. MJ and LeBron, can we all agree?
Yeah, I'll say
yeah. Bird, yeah. Bird's up there, top three.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Big Larry fan over here. Yeah, so, you know, MJ or LeBron? Ollie, I want to hear this from you first.
I think if LeBron 1v1 MJ, he'd kick his ass. But I think MJ is, like, the GOAT. Because, like, think about it. He changed basketball forever. He, like right. – I don't know how to explain it. Like he was like the face of basketball for so long, and like
I
don't know.
LeBron globalized basketball.
Yeah. Like I global. Think. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. I mean, MJ took the game overseas, and not only that, but when it comes down to it, especially for us, being from Chicago, the way he went about himself and the way his character, his class, he knew he was the greatest in the world, and what he was doing, he knew he was creating a dynasty, a legacy that would last for years and years and years, knowing he'd be number one all time. But the one thing I will say, though, in LeBron's favor was the reason why the last dance became what it was when LeBron won that championship. And he said, get the footage out the vault.
Well, that's a rumor. I don't know if that's – is that a confirmed thing that the reason the last dance happened was because
– If it's true, that says MJ was worried. And the fact that a man can compete with MJ on a real level really says something.
Yeah, hold up. What do you guys
right.
think?
I think it's not necessarily debatable, though. It is debatable, but I personally think that MJ is the greatest basketball player of all time, just in the matter of what he was able to do.
Yeah, I think LeBron is definitely, I think, a better playmaker. I think he's the better all-around basketball player. But if we're saying greatest of all time, it's got to be MJ. I mean,
yeah, that's
accolades, the six titles, the way he changed the game.
If you're talking about rings for the two of them, no question about it, is MJ the undisputed greatest of all time.
Yeah. And I think that gives us a good transition into the next one. Should you measure greatness by championships?
No.
You think no all around or no? I think no depending on the sport.
No, it depends on who you are. If you're,
you can't say it depends on the case.
Yeah, you get. Yeah.
Give me a general statement. Yes or no?
It depends.
Josh. Okay, so saying. Josh, give me a general statement. Yes or no?
I think it completely depends. It's a very dependent thing.
All right, you know what?
Well, I'll say right now. Just hear me out for a second. Hear me out.
Yeah, hear him out.
I think it's dependent whether or not it's many things that go into making the greatest basketball player of all time. I think rings is definitely something that goes into making the greatest in a sport. I think if you're championship, it's very hard to consider yourself the greatest to ever play a sport. But I think there are some guys who will win – say 4 or 5 championships in their career and not even be noted as the top 100 player in their sport just because of like what they did as a basketball player in their specific sport. So it depends on who you are. Like there are some great, great basketball players who have never won a ring, but you're not going to not put them up there just because they haven't won. But then back to the MJ LeBron debate, one of the reasons LeBron isn't up there is a lot of people's arguments is because of a ring. So,
right.
Ollie, if you're some bum riding the bench on like the Warriors the past 5 years, like, of course you're going to have rings. It's like people don't even know who you are. You don't even have jerseys sold at the gift shop. Like, and you're hopping around from team to team, from ship to ship. I mean, it's whatever. I think you're talking like MJ LeBron, like Josh said, then that's when it matters.
Yeah, like the guy up. Because you are. Patrick, Patrick McCaw, the guy that was on the Warriors and then the Raptors.
Raps, yeah.
He's like three rings. Hasn't gotten a playoff minute.
Yeah.
All right, here's what I'll say. I'll chime in. I will always use this example when it comes to this question. It's not a basketball example, but the question is, do rings determine greatness, right, Chuck? Or Zach, was that the question? Or is it greatest or greatest of all time?
Greatness in general.
All right, greatest in general. Ready? Joey Votto. Joey Votto is
Oh, my God. Yeah,
you always mention baseball player. Joey Votto.
Joey Votto is a top-tier baseball player. Joey Votto is one of the greatest players to play in the past decade. Joey Votto will go down
first base.
When it comes – Joey Votto is phenomenal. He's a great player. He has played on the Reds almost all his career, if not all his career. If he's on a better team, you can't tell me his numbers wouldn't be better. If he has guys on base and he goes up to bat, if he doesn't come up to bat batting two outs every single time, he gets better numbers. He gets more rings. He gets more recognition. Joey Votto is an unbelievable baseball player, and he is a great baseball player. Without a ring, he is great.
So you kind of changed the question.
So you just made the argument
that the player depends. Better on a better team.
Well, sure, yeah, that's no question about it.
But I think to your point, the player, a baseball player, shouldn't be measured. Their greatness shouldn't be measured by World Series, because
but even their numbers. You know what I mean? Like Joey Votto, his numbers, every single one of his stats would be boosted. Every single one of them, if he's on a better team, no question about it. But he's stuck on the Reds for all of his career. He's getting to the end of his career. He's getting older. He's in his 30s. He is a better baseball player than he's made out to be by almost anyone who watches baseball.
Okay. I don't know if it's true that on any team in the MLB, he would have better numbers.
That's totally true. Are you kidding me? You're telling me all of his career, he's not on the Reds and he's on the Yankees or he's on the Dodgers or he's on the Red Sox all of his career. You're telling me his batting average would be higher, his RBI wouldn't be higher? Tell me all that wouldn't be higher.
I don't think Joey Votto bats in the top five of the lineup on the Yankees.
I disagree. I think Joey Votto is a solid baseball player, no matter where I don't know what you're saying, Josh. I totally disagree.
For the Dodgers, I don't think he – for championship Astros team, you think he's batting in the top five in the lineup?
On the Astros? I think
as a first baseman, I'm putting Joey Votto to bat fifth because you know why? In his entire career, he's popped out under 30 times in 15
years.
Under 30 times. So I'm saying I'm bet fifth. He's a guaranteed RBI. Almost every time he goes to bat, guaranteed RBI. I'll bet you he bats 400 at least with runners in scoring position. And that's playing for the Reds. The Reds. Put him on the Dodgers, he's even better. He's just an insane baseball player.
I would like to see Votto.
I'll Google it right now.
I would like to see Votto lead off.
I'm not a big Votto at leadoff.
Yeah. Just because, you know, you guarantee a base hit.
Right, exactly. Like, especially on a better team when he's not coming up to bat with two outs. He's not doing this, that, or whatever. He is a great baseball player.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Joey Votto fan, but that stat of the fly balls to right field or whatever it is.
Insane. First base. Up until last year, in a 15-year career, he had never once popped out, flat out, whatever you want to call it, to the first baseman. He'd never, on the scorecard, had never once said whatever to the third or to a three.
He's basically made solid contact on every single hit.
He swings level no matter what. You bet him fifth on a team that has runners on base, and not only does he win a ring, not only does he do that, whatever, but he walks around the streets, and everyone's like, yeah, Joey Votto this, Joey Votto that, rather than being in Cincinnati his entire life.
Right. Yeah, I guess you could say that. But back to the
– what do you guys think Joey Votto's bat for his career?
Batting his average? What?
Batting average for his career, what do you guys think it is?
Probably 250, 270.
I'll say 260.
I'll go
307.
He's batting
307.
Exactly. On the Reds. On the Cincinnati Reds. He's batting 307.
Wow.
He's batting – he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's batting –
What's his on-base percentage?
I'm checking that right now.
This man's the best first baseman of the 21st century.
He should be a leadoff hitter.
He's the best first baseman of the 21st century.
On-base percentage is .421.
You're going to look me in the eyes and tell me if he's on a better team, not only are his stats above .307 and .421, but his RBIs aren't boosted, his this, that, whatever. You're telling me he's not – it gets to me, man.
Well, then let's take this question to football. Can you measure a quarterback's greatness by championships? Because what if the guy's truly – well, I mean, it's kind of hard because that – football is a sport where you need a good team to win. Like, there's no
– Here's what I'll say about that. Today, I saw ESPN, literally just today, ESPN posted, and it was like crazy stat lines, right? Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this. Yeah. ESPN posted.
I saw that.
Three receptions, right. 100. Look at this.
The last post. Doug Flutie, 6 completions, 165 yards, 4 touchdowns. Like, if you have great guys around you as a quarterback, as a quarterback, if you have solid players around you, you will succeed.
Yeah, you can see. You can even like, if you've ever played football, having a good teammate makes things so much easier for you and for everyone
coming
else.
From
like,
a yeah.
It's
yeah.
Also about the batting average stat. I don't know if you know Joey Votto's was what, 307?
Yeah, 307.
Yeah.
Starting Castro's is 280.
Like. Sean Castro's a bum. I don't know. He's most errors out of any active player. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, the man is – he's nothing.
That's only two
Castro. I feel so bad for that guy missing out on the ring.
Where is he right now?
He got traded the year before. Castro?
I think he's on the Marlins.
Yeah, he's on the Marlins.
Yeah, is Castro still playing?
He was on the Yankees because the Yankees are the Cubs.
Yeah.
Dump.
He was. And the Marlins just killed the Braves.
It was that big trade.
Yeah.
Did anyone watch the Cubs-White Sox game yesterday?
Yeah, unfortunately.
That scares me too.
White Sox put up five runs in the first.
And they didn't even finish the inning. They cut the inning short.
Really? Five run rule? That's embarrassing.
Yeah, they got slaughter rule in the first inning. They said, all right, 5 runs.
It was after Yu Darvish threw 30 pitches that they decided to stop the inning.
The Cubs should trade every single player besides Wilson Contreras, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo.
I'd say get rid of Javi Baez.
Trade every single
Javi
player.
What about Javi?
I included Javi.
Disagree.
I mean, the rest of their team is just garbage. The bullpen's so bad.
Nope. Kipnis?
Replaceable.
Kipnis will have a year. You watch.
Kipnis barely made the roster.
Anyway, he did it first. I don't care what you – okay, say what you want. He went deep in his first at-bat.
He's a Chicago kid.
Exactly. Like, he went deep in his first at-bat. Like, so what? He barely made the roster. He put a 415 feet against the pros. Dead center. At Wrigley.
I mean, but if you're in the MLB, you should be able to hit a home run.
Well, here's the thing about the MLB, though. This year, they're playing 60 games. Imagine you go on a tear and you win 10 out of 14.
Well, yeah.
You're guaranteed a playoff spot.
Yeah, if you go on a hot streak,
you go 4 for 14, you're screwed. You can't make up for that. Think hitting, too. Stat-wise.
You go, say, 5 games.
Right, you're in a 12 for a week.
12 for 15, like –
Right, exactly. But that's also but then you get into like this year is discredited on every single sport, every single sports card, everything. Yeah. This will have an asterisk next to it for the rest of time.
If
you think about this, if you have a slump for a week in this season of baseball and
your season's screwed,
sucking for 6 games, then that's 10% of your season that was just gone because you played like shit over that six-game span or two-week span or whatever it is.
All I want to say about the MLB this year is in 60 games, I hope every single Astros player gets hit at least 60 times.
Oh, do you see them today?
Someone hit
Altuve and Bregman on the first 2 at-bats.
Good. I hit their whole 9 guys. I put them all on base. I'd give up all those runs.
Especially in these scrimmage games.
You do that anyways.
Exactly. I'd plunk every single one of them and say, oops.
Corbin feels very strongly about the Astros. Yeah. Feels very strongly about the Astros scandal. And what
we need to do that one game. Just start, hitting the trash can with the bat or something. See how the other team reacts.
Get the Gatorade cooler and start going ham on it with the baseball bat.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think we should move on. What do you guys think about the draft lottery? You think you think it's rigged? Do you think they should like? I know it's a lottery pick, so it prevents kind of tanking. But I'm wondering what you guys think about it.
I think it's a very like interesting way to go about getting your draft pick, because in most all other sports, you see guys like you see the ability to tank for a team and like play for the draft pick, but in the NBA that kind of changes. But at the same time, you really have no idea how that first pick is. Like you can suspect that it's those like what happens, but you really don't know. So I think it's an interesting thing that could maybe be things could change to make that a little more fair. So
yeah, I guess there's a lot of busts.
I don't think it's rigged. I don't think lottery, draft lottery and rigged should be in the same sentence. These big leagues, they have too much, too much clout, whatever it is, to rig.
It's professionalism.
Exactly. They would not rig these drafts. I agree with you, Al. But I think it does definitely eliminate tanking, which is huge. But the aspect that I love about it is that, like, you could have the number one percentage, like, you know, like you could be 14% to get the first to get a top three pick, and you could fall to like the sixth. That happened to the Bulls last year.
Oh, it happens to the Bulls every year.
Yeah, exactly. Every year. Bulls have the worst lottery luck. Whatever.
There's just no point in tanking at that point.
Yeah, I mean it's you know? But it definitely, you know, it eliminates you know, when you know you're not in the playoffs, you know you're not this, you're not that, whatever. That's what happens. And when it comes to the NHL this year, because of Corona, what they have, they just did their picking, whatever it was. And one of the teams that doesn't make the playoffs in the return to play, those like six or eight teams, whatever it is, will have a chance to get the number one pick in the draft, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. And but honestly, like if you think about it, I just looked at this stat here. I think this is for the NFL. It says in the past 20 years, around 70% of all draft picks have been busts.
Wow.
So,
well,
I mean,
what do they classify as a bust? What's a bust?
Well, they do it by these three categories. It's it doesn't really say specifically, but I'm sure it's like, yeah, I have no idea.
I'm sure it's like, you know, games played. Like if they played over an entire if they played over 20 games, something like that.
Yeah, it's like individual stats, team performance, and like all pro honors, I guess.
Sure.
He classifies it.
I have a question for you guys. The NBA just came out and said that the rookie of the year and all the awards are decided when season ended because of COVID.
Zion.
Who do you guys have as your rookie of the year?
Zion.
NBA would put Zion just for the like.
I know it's unfair to John Morant, but Zion deserves it. I mean, if he finishes strong. If he doesn't finish strong, then it's John Morant.
No. It doesn't matter. Zion's the face of the new NBA.
I think John Morant's going to win, though. I think
it depends who takes that 8 seed. If New Orleans takes that 8 seed, it's Zion. If Memphis does, then it's John Morant.
It's just based on looking at regular season stats,
it's
not the bubble.
It's not the playoffs.
It's not on the bubble.
It's March 13th.
It's not on the bubble.
It's going to be Josh.
When the NBA was suspended.
Right. Here's what I think. I think that before Zion played his first NBA game because of his injury, it was no question John Morant. Not even a thought in my mind or anyone's mind was it anybody else. When Zion came back up until March 13th, 15th, whatever it was, he made a case for MVP.
Animal.
Similar to what Ollie was saying, Zion is their guy right now. Zion is the NBA's guy. Zion is the guy. He's explosive. He's a dunker.
He's flashy.
Didn't he get a 2K cover?
He's flashy.
He got a cover on 2K.
He got a 2K cover.
He is exactly what the fans want.
Exactly. So because of that, their scouts, their experts, and I'm doing air quotes right now, whatever it may be, that might shift their vote, might sway them a certain way to say, hey, we want people to come look at our league. We want our league to be this, you know, interesting, whatever it may be. Just because for that reason, that might definitely boost him up a little bit. But I think it's Ja.
Yeah.
I think it's Ja.
It just seems pretty unfair to give it to Zion, but even though Zion may still be deserving of it. I also think, like, you know, it's just the rookie of the year. It's your first year that you're being judged on. Like, if you think about it, most players, like 99.9% of players, don't get rookie of the year, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Right, one guy every year.
One guy every year gets
exactly
rookie of the
year.
And so,
I'm sure.
I mean, like, obviously the greats have gotten rookie of the year, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to have a Hall of Fame career. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder how many rookies he was out.
Mm-hmm. What did you say, Josh?
I said Zion has a different situation. It's not like he played his whole rookie season.
Right, exactly. That's what I was saying.
He's in a completely different boat in the sense of it's not his, like, it's not him playing poorly the first half of the season and then turning it up. He was just injured and didn't play. And when he came back, he might have played better ball than Ja Morant, but Ja Morant still produced the whole year. And
I think
the Grizzlies, what are they, the eight seed in the West?
Right.
I think they're a good team
this year.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I mean, yeah.
And Ja's the captain of that squad.
Yeah.
He came in as a rookie and he said, you know what, let's go to war. You know what I mean?
Let's go to war. Bow your neck.
I'll go to war with you guys if you go to war with me.
get the med ball.
You know, on the topic of rookies, I think it, you know, iconic athletes, you know, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron Jameses, you know, someone else has got to take over. Who do you think, you know, name a few guys that you think are going to be the next iconic athletes that we talk about?
Alex Caruso.
Nope.
Jason Tatum.
No skill. Fan favorite. No talent.
Caruso.
Who?
Dude, how old is like that guy?
Not very
old. He's not the next whatever. Like, no.
Jason Tatum of an 80-year-old, though.
Jason Tatum is going to be the next.
Yeah, Jason Tatum's a dog. He's a beast. But in the – I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's Louis Robert, White Sox prospect, Luis Robert, whatever it may be. He is – like everyone has said he's the next Mike Trout. And to be called the next Mike Trout, the next greatest of all time, Jason Tatum, doing it, boy. But I think he'll be the MLB's next big guy, big thing.
Yeah, it's scary because the Cubs have given the White Sox all these new
prospects. Every single one of our farm
and
systems.
And it's so, players. Like, Eloy Jimenez, Gleyber Torres to the Yankees.
Yeah, I know.
But we had to. I mean,
believe me, I get that.
I would much rather have that World Series than be in the playoffs every year.
Then Eloy Jimenez,
It's going to be frustrating when it bites us in the butt and they win three World Series in the next decade, the White Sox.
Yeah, but you got to think about it when the Cubs, in 2015, I know they still made it to the NLCS, but they were playing the Mets, who each one of the players on the Mets had playoff experience. And I think, you know, if you're a young team, it's hard to make it to the World Series.
I think the White Sox will win it in the year 2030, and that will be their third championship in the last 10 years.
2030.
That's
10
years.
I want to see Zach. Zach's one of the biggest Cubs fans that I know. Who do you think wins more games this year, the Cubs or the Sox?
Sox.
I want to see the Sox division.
I've been to every single opening day since I've been born. I was there when I was 8 months old. I think the White Sox win more games than the Cubs this year. For the Cubs. I mean, actually, opening day is what I'm saying, the Cubs. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. The White Sox will unfortunately win more games than the Cubs this year.
Let me say this. The Cubs, I think the 60-game season helps them a lot because at the end of the 162-game season,
pitching,
they always choke. Always. Javi yeah, chokes. Javi's down, batting 300 down, until the last month.
And we're screwed.
Yeah. You know.
The Brewers and the Cardinals.
Let's see. Let's see the White Sox here. The White Sox, they're in the
AL Central.
Yeah, AL Central.
Yeah, so they play it sucks to say it, but I think the White Sox will have a
because yeah, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to right now with Corona, you're pretty much staying in your Midwest. The White Sox, I mean the Cubs are playing the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Reds, the Pirates. We're playing them
the White Sox
probably 45 times. The White Sox 45 times each year. The White Sox have to play us. Who else? Phillies. Phillies are a good team. Phillies are a dang good team.
I also think the NL is better than the AL.
But who else
AL
White Sox
now?
Play? I mean, their competition, I agree. Remember that dumb rule?
AL has
the All-Star, the winner of the All-Star game would determine the World Series.
Oh, that was horrible.
That was the dumbest rule. That was the dumbest rule.
That screwed the Cubs, too. That screwed the Cubs.
That was the worst rule in any league
ever.
It's
a horrible rule. Because who wants to try on break? You know,
and
that's their one break in the
matter?
Season.
Right, those guys come to put on a show for the fans, not to dictate who goes on to.
Yeah, it's just a fun thing that everyone does. And the NBA games get a little more competitive each year with the, like, you know, cash prize and the team.
And honestly, who?
A little more purple, but it's still.
I've never watched the All-Star game for 9 innings straight. It's just hard to watch.
Like
they don't stick to the same lineups.
Right. Exactly.
I put on the first inning and then I might leave it on, but I'm never actually.
Yeah, leave it on. Go on my phone. Do this. Do that. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, agree.
Because it's not high quality. Even though
the home run derby is fun to watch, though. I will say the home run derby is exciting. Oh, here's one thing.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember when Schwarber got screwed by Harper? If you go back and watch the video, Harper is like so the rule is you can't pitch until the ball lands. Harper is hitting, and it's in the last 30 seconds, whatever. He hits, and he goes to his dad, who's pitching to him, and he spins his hand around saying, speed up, speed up, speed up. You can't do that.
And then
that's what they did. That's what they did this home run derby. Guerrero and Pete Alonso everyone was just hitting without the ball landing. They just kept hitting.
That's why Schwarber got screwed. Schwarber went first and he was honest. He hit a great amount of home runs for whatever it was. And Harper comes in next and he's pushing me on the same pace, right? Yeah. He's hitting the same pace of home run. It's going to be a close command.
Now think about this.
It's going to be a buzzer beater.
Now think about this. What's the MLB going to do? Pause the, the home run derby and say, For we're gonna call back Bryce Harper's home run for Kyle Schwarber, which is Kyle Schwarber. Like
it was meant for Schwarber to lose.
Yeah,
it was meant for Schwarber to lose. It was in DC.
Harper's another one of those guys.
It was in DC.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Like what?
And it's the Harper. Second player to ever do that. Like
Todd Frazier when it was
Frazier
in Cincinnati.
Won
yeah. Todd Frazier is not a freaking home run hitter. You know?
Exactly. That's what I'm. That's bad. Exactly.
Frazier's in it. He's not in it if it's not in Cincinnati.
No, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. All right, Zach. What's up next?
Let's go a few more quick ones before we sign off here. I want to hear which college football program is the best ever.
University of Michigan. University of Michigan.
You guys are playing your favorites. I'm sitting here being honest.
Yes,
I'm telling the truth.
How?
No question about it. Is it Nick Saban with Alabama?
No, it's Alabama. There's no question.
Michigan is the winningest football program of all time.
That's not even.
Say it's what Alabama. You want to say. Alabama runs away with it.
Alabama's run away with it in the last 10 years.
We're never going to answer this question.
It's because of the last decade that they're undisputably the greatest college football program to ever take the field.
if I'm like the scheduling dude for, say, whatever, New Mexico State, and I get the choice between Bama Michigan, dude.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Michigan by a long
Not
shot.
Not only that, if I'm a five-star recruit and I say, all right, I want to go play for a great program, and I have an offer from every single team in the country.
That's completely fine. Right now, I'm disagreeing with you. Right now, I'm disagreeing.
Yeah, Josh is making a good point. It's all time.
No, I said.
Zach asked the question, what is the best football program of all time?
I'm still picking out. Josh, you're not listening. If I'm a five-star recruit, I'm living in Texas, and every single greatest college football program of all time, any since the beginning of football in 1860, whatever it was, I am going to the University of Alabama.
And okay, what Corbin said,
and that's the right decision to make. That's the right decision to make to go to Alabama right now, because that's the best football program in the country right now.
More than 27% of their players are in the NFL each year. That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous over the last 10 years. Michigan is the winningest football program of all time.
Most NFL players by college. Miami's the fourth on the list, and their program started
50
years later than every other program.
They also number one on the list.
Players in the playoffs every year.
It's number one.
We're never going to be top five.
Top five for college football.
Read it.
For NFL producing schools?
Ohio State has 32.
It's LSU, Ohio State. Oh, this is in 2018. Oh wait, let's do 2019. 2019, it's Alabama, Ohio State, Florida, Miami, LSU, Florida State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Penn State.
It's the same ones for the past 20 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's the hardest debated question because, you know, they don't play the same teams. It's, you know.
Yeah, college football is a really tough question to whatever. It's tough.
All right. I think we should wrap it up on this last question. This is kind of a personal question for us four.
Yeah.
Is Rajon Rondo a Hall of Famer? I'm going to start, and this is probably the only thing I'm going to say.
Here we go.
Is a big no.
I'll go next.
Yes.
I'll go next.
He is a Hall of Famer. When you think early 2010s, like all those, who do you think of when you think of the Celtics? Rondo. Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce was
good. Paul Pierce, like Ray Allen.
Larry Bird, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce.
Let him say what he wants. Let him say what he wants. We'll come back next. I'll say whatever you want to say.
I'm trying to think of who's a good passer right now. Like, who's like the biggest assist guy in the NBA right now?
LeBron.
Chris Paul.
Think LeBron Chris Paul. 2010. That is Rondo. Rondo's better than
Chris Paul. That is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard anyone say in my entire life. Think LeBron in 2010. That's Rajon Rondo. Are you kidding me right now?
Rondo's career stats. 10 points. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. Those are his career stats.
10-4-2. Okay.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Here's what I would say. If you're
originally
a Hall of Famer,
started.
What?
Okay. I got it. I think he's breaking up. If you're a Hall of Famer, I've always said you dominate a decade. Pick a decade, pick any Hall of Famer. You will see
2010.
For 10 years straight, Ollie, for 10 years straight, they dominated. You open up with early 2000s, that's 3 or 4 years max at best. 3 or 4 years. This man was an above average player. He was an all-star. He was an all-NBA player for 3 or 4 years. How many
And don't forget about the fact that he had Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett on that team.
Oh, that's true.
Look at him on the Lakers, man. I'm calling it. Next year he's going
Hall
off.
Hall of Fame caliber players, debatably Hall of Fame players.
Ollie, Rajon Rondo went to the All-Star game 4 times.
Okay.
He was on the All-NBA
Michael
13.
Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team.
Ollie, you say his prime was
dude, most NBA guys now don't even play in high school.
Yeah,
they're just picked up by an NBA team for college.
Ollie, when was he at his best? Early 2000s? Or early 2010s?
No, like late 2000s, early 2010.
Okay, so would you say like 2011, 2012 was his
one? No, like 2007 through.
All right, okay. So
like after they won the ship.
So 2010, they're like so 12. Like 2011, 20, so 2010, 2011.
Sure.
He was on the All-NBA third team.
Look at that, All-NBA.
Third team. There were 10 guys better than him in the NBA.
Now, what is that? Meaning, like,
all right, 10 all right. Guys Ollie, this is your last point because we got to wrap it up. Make your case.
Okay. I just think, like, stats aren't everything. We talked about this before. Like, the MJ thing. If we're talking stats, run. If we're talking everything that's cool, it's LeBron.
Okay, and he has three Hall of Famers on his team.
Who? Rondo? Make that four because he's a Hall of Famer.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. It's been a great show. Heated debates. I like
that. We're
going to
let
one.
Him say that. We're going to end with him saying that. That's what we're
yes.
going
with.
Yes. Yes. No. Like what we talked
about. Like COVID's the entirety of the last 35 minutes.
We've got less than a minute left on here. We can't go anymore.
Embarrassing statement to end on.
It's commercial break. All right. This has been the 312 show. Thank you all for listening. Have a good one.